Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, church. I'm so glad you're here in the house of the Lord today. You know, I believe that perspective is powerful. And before I make decisions, I like to get different perspectives because you can be looking at one side of a coin and somebody else sees the same coin, but they see it from a different angle. You know, I believe that God allowed me to meet our speaker today so that I could get another angle, another perspective. Clay Clark has been helping us at the church develop business systems, put together strategy, marketing plan, kind of the motor and the engine behind the church in the business realm. You know, I often run to pastors to get their perspective on how to run church. God let me meet Clay to get a business perspective, and it's powerful. You know, God's already used Clay to start the largest DJ business in the state of Oklahoma. He then sold it and built the largest videography business in the state of Oklahoma. Sold that and helped start a carpet franchise that's now the largest carpet franchise in America. He coaches tons and tons of businesses. He has a podcast now that gets 100,000 downloads a month. And he also has a brand of elephant in the room, men's hair parlors throughout the state of Oklahoma. Clay is a busy, busy man. I'm telling you, I think he can help you from a business perspective. He can help coach us. He's also a Christian. Man, we have a Christian businessman who has an amazing testimony about what God's done in his family. I'm so glad that Clay is here to coach us, talk to us, lift the house a little bit in the area of getting things done. I believe he's going to be a blessing. Come on, let's stand up on our feet and give a big hand clap to Clay Clark.
All right. Good morning, River City / Victory. How you guys doing? Now, what I thought I would do to get things started today, you know, I'm a pragmatic business guy, and I thought we could help Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse just go ahead and get this name thing solved here. Does anybody here have some good naming ideas? You got a good name? Okay, these are the three that I came up with when my flight was delayed. Every time I travel somewhere, my flight's delayed, so here's my big three, and by round of applause, we can just decide this. You can talk to your parents and see if this is approved, okay? So, idea number one, the United Kingdom, we could call it UK. What do you think about that one? It'd be our own passive-aggressive move, you know. We'd be calling it UK, you know. Anybody, do we have any UK fans here? UK? Okay. All right. Pastor Brian suggested the Holy Tabernacle, or the Holy Mackerel Tabernacle. Did anybody like that one? That's a good one. All right. And the second, and this, or the final one, the third one, is the Fifth Third Church. I don't understand the bank, but I think it would work. What do you think, the Fifth Third Church? What do you think about that? Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about work. And I would like everybody to get out a writing device, a note-taking device, perhaps an Etch-a-Sketch, if you still have one of those, perhaps a ketchup packet, anything you want to use to take notes today. And my wife is the kind of the spiritual, she's the one with the big faith. I'm the guy who's the diligent doer, grinder guy, and she always ends up being right. She's the prayer warrior in our family, and I'm learning from her all the time. But I'm going to teach you just principles that have allowed me to have success in the world of business. And if you implement these four moves, I promise that everybody in here, who here is over the age of 18? Over the age of 18? Okay. If you do these moves for three consecutive years, I promise you that you will make more than $100,000 a year, or you'll become the manager of your company, or start your own business. This just works. These are the four moves, and they're biblically based, and so we'll go ahead and get started here. So let's pull up the first slide if we can there. Slide number one here. So if we are Christians, let's think about this for a second. If we are Christians, I think it's important that our work ethic should show that. Does anybody agree with that? So this is, I have a team of people. Let's just go with the haircut business. It's called Elephant in the Room Men's Grooming Lounge. And we have many, many, many stylists. And if you look at Colossians, it says here, Colossians 3, 23, 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Think about that, as working for the So if God was your manager, how would that impact our work ethic? Think about that just for a second. If God was your manager, how would you work? So I want to go to our second slide to show you how not to work, because this is what I used to do. I profess to be a Christian, but my move was I would work as though I was, let's go on to one more slide, slide number three. I used to work as though God wasn't watching. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but I worked at Target. And so my job at Target was I worked in the electronics department. And when I was working in the electronics department, my manager would leave. You know, he would walk around and he'd leave. And I would go from the electronics department over to the concessions area. Who loves the soft pretzels at Target? The soft pretzels at Target? And the thing about it is you're supposed to have one per shift. So I would have like 13 per shift. So we'd have a team huddle and he would say, guys, do you know who's eaten the pretzels? And I'm thinking to myself, I had a couple. And my whole thing is he knew that I ate the pretzels. But if I'm a Christian employee, think about that for a second. What kind of testimony does that show if I'm supposed to be going to Oral Roberts University and I'm supposed to be a Christian employee and I'm eating all the pretzels and I always got there about 6 minutes late? Does anybody here manage people? Does anybody here manage people? Does anybody here have a job? Has anybody here ever had a job? When you're, okay, is anybody here? That's great. Okay, so if you work at Target and the guy who works at Target with you is consistently 5 to 6 minutes late and he eats all the pretzels, do you want to promote that person? No. So I read a secular book called Think and Grow Rich, which it turns out, whenever you read Think and Grow Rich, most of it parallels the Bible, and when, in fact, it conflicts, the Bible's right, and the Think and Grow Rich is wrong. But the book Think and Grow Rich talked about what you want to do is you want to over-deliver, and then you'll get overpaid. So tip number one, W, we want to work as unto the right. But this is a concept that I think, for whatever reason, I worked as unto, I'm not sure what I was doing. My thought was, I guess when my manager's gone, nobody will know. But now, I grew up impossibly poor. We grew up on food stamps. At about the age 18, I thought, I want to start my own business. And so I brought that same mentality of doing just enough to my own. When you own your own business and you show up late when you provide services for your customers, how's that going to go over? So I started my company. It's called DJConnection.com. And the wedding would start, let's say the wedding reception started at 8 p.m. I'd get there like at 6, I'm supposed to be there at 6 o'clock to set up. How many people here have planned a wedding in the last year? You planned a wedding in the last year? Okay, and the DJ says he's going to be there at 6 o'clock, right? 6 o'clock to set up, the thing starts at 8 o'clock. How late can I be before you're worried? Furthermore, I always dress like this. Okay, so How late can I be before you're worried? I mean, is it 6:05? Is it 6:10? Is it 6:20? Is it 6:30? This isn't a deep concept, but it's a concept that for some reason, as Christians, I think sometimes we don't do the Lord the service that he deserves. Because we're supposed to work as unto the... Okay, just four principles, W-O-R-K, okay? So W-O-R-K, W is work. Now, I want you to think about your life for a second. I want you to write down the following six Fs. Think about these six Fs for a second, okay? F number one, write this down. It's faith. We need to work on our faith as unto the... I'm just going to tell you, this is a self-evaluation today. I want you to write down the word faith and give yourself a grade on a scale of A to F in that area. Now, I'm going to give myself a grade right now, and that way you guys can go, this speaker's crazy. What has Brian done? I'm going to give myself a solid C-. And I'll tell you why. Because every single time that my wife says a statement of faith based upon praying and just believing in the word, I have doubt. So my son was born blind, and hopefully at some point she can come back and share the story. But my son was born blind, and nobody said my son would ever see again except for that woman. Now, I used to be an F-, which is below an F. And so I literally told my wife, do not pray again. You're making me crazy. We've gone to all the specialists. We've talked to all the gurus. We've gone to the Dean McGee Eye Institute, which is a big thing in Oklahoma. We've gone everywhere. And my son, he's not going to see. Stop saying it. And she just keeps praying. And then we travel to Destin, Florida, and my son grabs a highlighter from me. He looks me in the eye for the first time. I said, Vanessa, I think he's seeing. She's like, I know he's been seeing the whole time. You just didn't know yet. But I think faith and doubt cannot coexist. So I really do well in the world of business, but I'm just telling you, it's like a C minus. Recently, my wife says, your podcast, by the way, there's 530,000 podcasts in the world. Does anybody here listen to podcasts? 530,000 podcasts. And my wife says, I know you're going to have a top 10 podcast. Our podcast recently moved into number 6 in the whole world. Number 6. But you know who said it wasn't going to happen again? Me. And she said it's going to happen. She says it's going to happen. I feel, honey, you've been doing this for years. I think it's going to happen. Because there's no Christian voices up there, by the way. There's Dave Ramsey, and then there's me with a C-minus faith. So I weave in Christian references, but my wife is the faith champion of the family. So she says it's going to happen. And again, this is just 2 weeks ago. I'm like, it's not going to, no, that's just, no. And then it happens. And it just happens all the time. So I've discovered I'm a C-minus in faith. So the next one is family. Think about your family. Working on your family. There's 6 Fs. Faith, family. Family, how would you rate your performance in the area of working on your family? Again, I self-assess myself in front of all you to judge, because I think it's better if you judge me. I feel like am I a B right now? I'm a B. Amen. I'm the B team. You want the A team? I'm the B team. We've got great greeters out there. If one of them sprains an ankle, they call me. I'm the B team. So faith, family, but think about your family. Just rate yourself. Think about that on a scale of A to F, and it's important you write it down. Why is it important that you write it down? Because you can't improve it. You can't improve it. You can't. See, what we do is we measure what we treasure. We can't improve it if we don't know where we're at. It would be like playing communist basketball. We get to the fourth quarter. We have no idea. Did LeBron James hit that crazy floater last night? Is that what I heard? So how competitive would the game be if we didn't keep score? Folks, we're in the fourth quarter here. The score is really, we don't know, but Joseph Stalin thinks we shouldn't keep score, and we're all going to divide the salaries equally. I mean, it wouldn't work, right? So you've got to rate yourself in the areas of your faith and your family. The next is, and I hate this one, fitness. Oh, come on. See, the Bible talks about, you know, viewing your body as a temple, and I kind of view it like a bowling alley. I mean, look at me. I'm not in shape. I'm a shape. But the thing is, all of us need help in one area, do we not? So we want to rate ourselves in faith, family, fitness. Gosh, I'll move on because I can't talk about that. Fitness is too, I like to get on the treadmill and then look for someone I know, make eye contact, and go talk to them. Faith, family. I like to get the workout pants, the workout shoes, you know, the ones that don't, it's the shirt that repels the sweat. You get that shirt on and then you leave as soon as possible. You get a gym membership, but you never go. That's the key. Faith, family, fitness. Next, fourth is finances. We'll talk more about that today, but finances. I'm going to give you a tip. This is the tip. Here it is. Dave Ramsey couldn't be here today, so you're stuck with me. Automate your savings. Automate your savings. Automate your tithing. Automate your savings. But finances, okay? We'll talk about that more today, but finances. Are you bringing your A game to work, or are you bringing your F game? Are you bringing your C game? Are you eating all the pretzels? Do we have any pretzel eaters in here? By show of hands, any pretzel eaters? Okay, we got one honest person. That's great. I'm just saying. I have employees in my office who spend inordinate amounts of time in the bathroom. What's going on? It's kind of weird, too, because you can't ask, like, do you have a problem? Right? But they're in there. You see them in there. You know what's going on. So, again, faith, family, finances, right? Fitness, friendship. Friendship. How good of a friend are we being? Friendship. Are we being good friends? Are we there when people need us, or are we kind of there when it's convenient? You know, a friend of yours has a flat tire. Are we all about it? Are we out there having that Christian service, or are we about like, well, I'm not called to be a tire fixer, helper, picker upper guy. Poor John. Every time I fly into Tulsa, he knows every time I fly into Owensboro, he knows I'm going to get delayed. So last night, you know it's going to happen. So he drove to Louisville last night and got me again. We've thought about it, and it's actually going to save you time just to drive to Tulsa and pick me up each time. That's going to be, all right. And the final one is fun. Anybody here a parent? Anybody here a parent? You have any kids? Okay. Parents, I think it's so important as parents that we work at having fun with our kids, involving our kids in things. And again, just giving myself a letter grade. I feel like I'm moving into like a solid B minus right now. Every year I try to get a little bit better. But for me, I'm a grinder and work is my thing. Work is my worship. Work is what I love doing. And so it's hard for me sometimes to. Do we have anybody else there who just loves working? You just love getting stuff done. It's exciting for you. But sometimes you have to realize you might be working as unto the Lord, but if you don't see your kids and they forget your name, that's kind of weird, right? Okay, so we got to have that balance. All right, so let's go ahead and pull up our slide here. Back to the slide with the target references. Okay, so according to Forbes, I want you to write this down. 70% of Americans today, according to Forbes, 70% of Americans hate their jobs. And you know why that is? It's because when we don't work as unto the Lord, our manager has to manage us. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Are you feeling me like a petting zoo? Right? That's a, you guys can write that one down. You can keep that. 70% of your 70% of employees hate. Hate's a strong word, right? And you know why? Because when I was at Target, what's my boss doing all the time? Clay, what are you doing? Clay, get to work. Clay, do this. Here's my move at Target. Anybody here worked at Target before? You know there's the all-call page? There was a button we could hit where I could make announcements and no one could trace back the origin of who did it. This is the kind of mind that creates a radio show. So I would hit the button and I would duck down and, attention shoppers, we've got a four-door vehicle that apparently is a very serious accident. If you have a four-door vehicle, please report to the front of the building. And everyone would scatter and I'm like, oh, that is awesome. That's awesome. And then my boss comes up, hey, Clay, are you making those announcements? Sounds like you. I don't know anything about it, you know. But that's the kind of stuff. So you hate your job when you're not doing a good job. Does it make sense? So if you want to get promoted out of your current job you don't like, you have to work as unto the Lord. Right. So I worked at Applebee's and Target and DirecTV, and one day it sunk into my head I need to work as unto the Lord, so I'm working as unto the Lord, and a guy comes into my department and he says, you're the best electronics guy I've ever seen. What's your deal? I said, well, I'm trying to start my own business, and I got to have three jobs simultaneously to start. I work at Applebee's, Target, DirecTV. I work at these three jobs. And he goes, do you want another job? Santa? So I said, what do you do? He says, my name's Todd Starkey. I work at Tax and Accounting Software. We start out at $15 an hour. Now, I made $7 an hour. That allowed me to quit two jobs. Remember I told Vanessa I got one job. It's like two jobs. I got one job that's like two jobs. So then I go to tax and accounting. I work as unto the Lord. Everybody gets to work right on time. I thought, I'm going to beat my boss to work. Someone should write that down. I thought, I'm going to beat my boss to work. Someone should write that down. I thought I would beat my boss to work. So I decided to beat my boss to work. I challenge you to do this for the next 90 days. If you do it, it will change your income and change this community. If you beat your boss to work, one, they're going to think you're stealing something. It's just so I get to work. I'm not kidding. I'm the first one there in the parking lot. They're going, what are you doing? I just want to be the first one to work. Everyone goes home. I say, by the way, I'm not clocking in at 5 in the morning. I'm not clocking in at 6. Last one to leave. What happens to the person who's the first one there and the last one to leave? What happens? They promote you. So now I'm 19, getting promoted. Pretty soon I'm in charge of this area. Now I'm making more money. So that's the key. First, we have to work as unto the Lord. So I would just encourage you as action items here for you to jot down. If you own your own business, do more than the customer paid you to do. So if you're cleaning carpets, you're cutting hair, you're doing whatever you do, just do more than the customer paid you to do. How many people here would appreciate it if a contractor did more than they said they would do instead of less? Come on now. Who here has remodeled that kitchen and paid for it twice? Okay. Now, if you're an employee, what you want to do is you want to get there early, stay there late. Don't work for your boss. By the way, your boss is going to make mistakes. Your boss is going to irritate you. Your boss is a human. Do not worry about what your boss does. Do you think that Jesus got up there on the cross and decided to start taunting the Romans who were being mean to him? Think about that. I mean, think about it. It's not a funny idea, but it's an idea. Christ is on the cross. What if he got into a verbal argument with the people that were crucifying him? He probably could have won that debate, right? But he didn't. So at work, you have to work as unto the Lord and not human masters. Let's go on to the next slide. The next slide there. This is O. We have to own our day. This was the house that my wife moved into. We had about 20 DJs working out of this house at one time. It was called DJConnection.com. And people used to always, customers would say, hey, what does your dad do? Because I look like this and I own an entertainment company, and they're going, what does your dad do? Or how did you guys come into some money, or what did you do? And the thing was is that if you work, even as a DJ, do you understand that a DJ is one level under a carny? Like, if you applied to be a carny and they said, son, you don't have what it takes, but you could be a DJ. That's what the DJ is. But we were able to have a lot of success by just doing this next concept. So the O stands for own your day. Own your day. Now, I want to give you some thoughts. And Pastor Brian talked about it a few weeks ago. It's probably about a month ago. I watch you guys online all the time. But he talked about your smartphone, and he talked about boundaries, and how your smartphone can take you into a bad place real quick. Do you remember that? He was talking about that, your smartphone. Well, right now, I'm going to put the stats up on the screen here. But according to Psychology Today, the average American is being interrupted 85 times per day on their smartphone. 85 times per day. So we've got to do when we go home with our kids and we're spending time with our family and our fitness, we've got to turn off that thing. We've got to schedule time for what matters. So Proverbs 14:23 is here to kind of give you the kick you might need. Not that you need it. I'm kicking my old target self. Okay, but here we go. Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Let's repeat that. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty, right? So Lee Cockrell, one of my partners who used to manage Walt Disney World Resorts, he taught me this concept. He used to manage 40,000 employees at Walt Disney World Resorts. He says this notable quotable. He says, Clay, what gets scheduled gets done. So if you think about it, being present is a present. So I am here now. You are here now because you've made a poor life choice. But we are here. Yeah, we knew he was going to be gone. We didn't know this weird guy would speak. But so the thing is, you're here now, right? So we're here doing faith. But when we're doing family, are we on the smartphone? Are we not mentally present? Have you ever been on a date with somebody? Husbands, you ever gone on a date with your wife where you can't get off your phone and you're, that's not a move. I actually have ruined more dates than humanly possible by bringing the smartphone. Now I don't do that because, you know, anybody ever taken that work call while on the date? You ever done the work call while on the date? So again, we just want to make sure the phone off, okay? Because all you could talk about having a great date night with your wife, but if you bring that smartphone, you get distracted. I think that's a huge problem. Let's move on to the R. Rise and grind. R. Work is unto the Lord. Own your day. Rise and grind. This is a concept. Proverbs 10:4 states, lazy hands make for, but diligent hands bring wealth. Let's think about that again. Lazy hands make for. Who wrote that? What book is that in? Is that Tony Robbins? Is Proverbs in Tony Robbins? Is this a secular thought? No. So the reason why I was getting yelled at by my boss at Target, which is the lowest possible job, if you are managing the pretzel area for a long amount of time and you're not ever considered for management, this means that I was doing some weird stuff, right? But I can't be mad at my boss. I have the Proverbs is telling me what's going to happen. Now, this is a concept. I want to put that slide back up there. Exodus 20:11 says, for in 6 days... the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Let's repeat that. For in how many days? I'm confused. How many days? So then you think about, where did the 40-hour work week come from? Is that in the Bible? Is that like, in 40 hours, the Lord took a break. Well, he took in 5 hours, and he took a break for lunch for an hour, and then he would come back, and he was off on Saturday. The point is, the Lord did a... No, and does the Bible use symbolism to teach us stuff, or is it just random? So in 1938, Franklin Delano Roosevelt created the 40-hour work week as part of the New Deal, although this law did not change the Bible. So it says here, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh. So we didn't make it in 7 days, note to self. Because I like to go 7 days, which is a problem. That's not good. But think about this for a second. If God is saying that it takes 6 days, is that still relevant today, or is that book old school? So I want you to think about this for a second. You maybe write down some of these names. If you go to thrivetimeshow.com, you can hear some of these interviews. I've had a chance to become a partner with David Robinson, the NBA Hall of Fame basketball player. I asked Dave, you guys remember David, number 50, the Admiral? Great guy. I asked Dave, how'd you get, remember how big David's arms were? I said, Dave, how'd you get in such great shape? Well, you get there before the rest of the team, and you leave when they go home. Oh, 6 days. So you interview Lee Cockerell, the guy who ran Disney World. You said, Lee, how did you get to manage Disney World? You did not have a college degree. You were in the Army. You didn't have a degree. Now you're managing the largest amusement park in the world with 1 million guests per week. How'd you do it? He says, first guy in, last guy out. 6 days, my man. It doesn't matter who I interview. Michael Levine, he's the PR consultant for Michael Jackson's estate and Prince and Pizza Hut and all these people. Again, 6 days. So this is a thought. I know that the 40-hour work week is what it is. I know I own a business. I know I have to observe labor laws. I'm just talking about if the people of River City Church / Victory / UK, if you guys want to go into this community and change things, if we want to change things, we need to become managers, owners, and leaders. And you can't do it, we can't do it, unless we work 6 days. Because we're not working as unto man, we're working as unto the Lord. Yes! A lot of times I've gone to church services in the past and I've thought to myself, I don't know what that service was about. If you get out of here without knowing what today's service was about, I've screwed up. But I believe in this community, every single person here who has a job should be a manager, a leader, or an owner if we're going to change this community. Because how many people know that they look to their boss for a source of leadership and wisdom? How many people know that? Got a guy in my office, pulls me aside the other day, says, hey, I've been to prison. Okay, that's a good transition into, you know. Why is he coming to me saying, hey, boss, just want you to know I've been in prison in my past. Why is he coming to me? Because I'm his boss. And my job as a boss is to make big obstacles seem small. That's my job as a boss. My job is to make big obstacles seem small, to provide income, stability, mentorship. Management is mentorship, by the way, and promotion is problems. You want to get promoted, you're going to have to deal with some problems. But if you are diligent, you will get promoted. And when you do get promoted, can you share your faith? It's really hard for anyone to listen to the pretzel-eating guy. Guys, I have just eaten 8,000 calories in the last, like, half hour, and I've made some false announcements, and I wanted to share with you about my faith. Wow, let's all gather around. So here's what I do. I wake up way after all of you. I live in a van down by the river, and I want to share with you about my Christ. No one cares. And in America, do we not put a false emphasis on people who succeed? So you could be really, Kanye West apparently shares the same spirit as Donald Trump or whatever. Why do we even know his name? This guy is crazy, but he happens to be good at one thing, so the world listens. Does that make sense? And I believe that God gave every single person here a gift, and we've just got to work that thing. We've got to work that thing. Can somebody say, we've got to work that thing? You've got to outwork the person next to you, because you're not working as unto humans. You're working as unto the Lord, and God is always watching, even when I'm eating the pretzels. Now, again, we move on. The point of this is we can share our faith. The point of this is we can share our faith. This is the K. This is the K. This is the final one. There's work, okay? Move on to the next slide here. Sorry. Move on to K. Yes. K. It's super important that we keep focused on sustainable diligence. Anybody here married to a man? Don't put your hand up. This is just sort of like this is awkward. Anybody here married to a man who's constantly working? Don't put your hand up. Check two. There we go back. Anybody here married to somebody that works, though, all the time? And the thing is, our kids still need to know our names. We still need to go work out. We still need to go to church. And we can't just work. We can't do that. Let me give you some names of some people that work. That's all they did. Elon Musk, not married. Steve Jobs, didn't stay married. Clay Clark, only by the grace of God, stayed married. There's a lot of people that have a lot of success in the world of business, but not in the family. So what we have to do is we have to keep focused on sustainable diligence. So I would encourage you to do as an action step today is write down the F6, faith, family, finance, fitness, friendship, and fun every morning. Every morning. This sounds terrible. Every morning. Every morning we do it. Write it down and write down an action step for your day of what you're going to do in that area. Right? Because Proverbs 10:4 said that God blesses the hand of the diligence, of the hand of the diligent. Now, the word diligence means the steady application of effort. Steady. It's not a get motivated thing. It's hard. Jerry West, the NBA Hall of Famer, says, it's hard to get much done when you only work on the days you feel like it. So diligence is the steady application of effort. So I'm going to give you some verses here that hopefully will encourage you guys. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Anybody here have a garden? You ever thought about not pulling weeds for a few months? Anybody here planted a garden, not pulled the weeds for a few months? That's my move. Get the garden, go to Lowe's, buy the things, don't take care of it. Now I just don't do it anymore, right? It's concrete garden is what I'm all about, okay? So you got to work it, all right? Proverbs 13:11-13 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. It is so important that we don't try to get rich quick, and it actually takes longer to try to get rich quick. You know, so for iTunes, we just now hopped into the top 10, but that's after like 3 years. You know, Elephant in the Room, the men's grooming lounge that we have, it's taken 6 years to grow that thing. OxyFresh, the company I consult with and work with, there's over 500 locations. If you type in the word carpet cleaning quote, there's over 130,000 reviews. It's top in the world for carpet cleaning. But it's a diligence thing. It's not a get-rich-quick thing. Does that make sense? And our society wants to sell you a get-rich-quick thing. And why does society want to sell you a get-rich-quick thing? Because they know we want to buy the shake weight. The shake weight doesn't work. It's an obscene thing. And I know 3 million people bought it. And then 3 million people more. Shake weight. So don't become the shake weight of life. Don't believe in get rich quick things, okay? Don't believe in the new girlfriend, the new car, the new marriage, the new... You got to take care of what we have. We got to take care of what we have. And the final notable quotables I want to give you guys, then I'll let you hear from somebody who's more intelligent than me, a man by the name of Jared. So here we go. Billy Graham. Who knew about Billy Graham? The name Billy Graham. Billy Graham once said, the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. Service means work. Billy Graham. Rick Warren has said, work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence. Let me read that to you one more time. Work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence. So this week, as we go out into our community, we show up at work. Let's show up and be the first person at work for the next 90 days. When your boss has a salty, sarcastic comment and throws a motivational book at you, and you're not working for him, you're working as unto the Lord. And let's go out there and become managers and leaders, owners, and let's change this community. And I know Pastor Brian has a massive vision that God has given him to grow this church, and I have got a chance to spend a lot of time with this man. And I will tell you that Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse are some of the most diligent, hard-working pastors I've ever had the opportunity to work with. And you guys are blessed to have them as your leadership team. Let's hear for Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse. And I'm just excited for you guys to grow River City / Victory / UK. And I just keep doing that enough until it becomes a passive-aggressive takeover. But I thank you guys for letting me be up here today. And I think now I'm going to pass the mic over to Jared here. But before I do that, I always like to end with a boom. And boom stands for big, overwhelming, optimistic momentum. okay? So we're going to end with a boom. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, boom! All right, Jared, here we go, sir.